Don't you ever get tired? Tired of constantly getting the red carpet treatment?
Good evening.
Tired of having all your worries taken care of and knowing that there's a place reserved for you?
Right this way, sir.
Of course you don't. That's why you join PokerStars. After all, our VIP club awards over $3.6 million worth of major on- and offline tournament entries every month. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out more about why other reward schemes just don't open as many doors. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's April 3rd, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. I am Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long, and thank you for staying way, way on that side of the studio today.
Why can't I shake this cold, man?
I don't know. I drive all the way back from Fort Lauderdale, and you're sick as a dog.
I can't get rid of this cold. I thought it was the allergies, you know, the pollen, no rain and whatever, but that's not it, you know? So I went to the doctor, and, you know, I got a shot in the ass.
Yeah.
Never got a shot in the ass in my life. I'm 38 years old, and I'm like, oh, you're going to give me a shot? She's like, yeah. And I said, okay, and I started to roll up my sleeve. She's like, yeah, that's not where I'm going to give it to you. Yeah. And I was like, what?
Needs a little more flesh.
Oh, man. I don't want to show the nurse my ass.
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't want to see it either.
Yeah, no, she didn't.
It's all part of the job, though.
Actually, it was just my upper hip, you know, and I didn't even feel it. But I'm starting to feel better. The antibiotics are starting to kick in. I still sound nasally, but man, today we couldn't share the mic, buddy. There's no way. I did not want to breathe all over you.
Well, you certainly have felt well enough to play some of the best poker of your life, though,
it sounds
like.
Yes, I don't know where that came from. Maybe the non-antibiotics and me, maybe a better poker player. I don't know, but I did. I had one of the crowning achievements of my career this week. I'm down in Sarasota at the One-Eyed Jack's Poker Room.
Mm-hmm.
There to cover their Heads Up event because they had some big name pros in town.
Yeah, $850
buy-in. Yep. And they had some big time pros. They had Glenn Chorney, who's the EPT Grand Final champ from last year, won $3 million. They had Bill Edler, World Series of Poker bracelet winner in 2007 plus a WPT event that year, and he was Player of the Year in some of the systems and rankings. And of course, who's always there, Gavin Smith. He was in town, another World Poker Tour Player of the Year from season 4. And they had some other people. They had Paul Azinger there, the very famous Ryder Cup captain. He was there playing. And so I'm down there to cover because it's real newsy, you know, taking photos and stuff. And it's wrapping up. It's getting kind of late, but I'm not going to stay there till the end because it's going to the end. And I'm getting ready to go. And Sam says, where are you going? He's Sam Minatello, our friend who runs the room down there. And I was like, I'm going to go home, man. I've been here 9 hours or whatever. Now I'm ready to go. He's like, no. Playing a sit and go with Gavin Smith. And I was like, no, I don't think so. You know, no, he's in one right now. He's probably going to bust out. If he busts out of it, you know, he'll get into this one. I was like, no, I don't think so. He's like, come on, it's $125 sit and go. Get in there with him. I said, tell you what, if he gets knocked out in the next 10 minutes, I'll go. I'll go play. If not, I'm going home. Sure enough, like clockwork, 10 minutes, he gets busted out. And I'm in a sit and go with Gavin Smith. So there's one seat open, and we're waiting for the seat to fill. And Bill Edler, Player of the Year, bracelet winner, gets knocked out of the Heads Up tournament. And guess who's sitting in my sit and go? Bill Edler and Gavin Smith. They're in my sit and go. I'm sitting across from Bill Edler and Gavin Smith. Glenn Chorney had gotten knocked out way earlier and had already gone home, so obviously he wasn't a part of this. But two of the finest rounders on the planet are in my sit and go. And I won it. That was pretty awesome. I freaking won it. I knocked out Edler at the end. Someone else had crippled. I took one pot off of Gavin, but someone else crippled him, and then he got knocked out. But I knocked out Edler at the end and won it.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
And they get half that, right?
Yeah. No, they do not. They do not. But it was pretty wild. There's one hand where he was doing the old optimal shove because the blinds were kind of high thing, and he put me all in, and I was really short, and I was like, I looked down at one ace, and I said, they're going to have to call you. And then I turned it over, another ace. I couldn't believe he put me all in with queen nine, and I had pocket aces. So that really helped. Then later on, I knocked him out. I had ace six, and he had some garbage like 9-8 or something, 9-7. And I knocked him out. It was awesome.
Very nice.
It was really unbelievable. And then, so, you know, to make matters worse, I said, all right, well, I have this coupon. to go play at the Silks the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I'm sick. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get better. But I'm riding the confidence. You know, I had this coupon because when you make a final table at the Silks, they give you an automatic berth into their free roll for the $350 tournament.
Right.
So I go up to the Silks in Tampa and the next day, and I play in this tournament. And I'm playing really tight, and I won like one or two small pots, but I'm like half down, and I get pocket tens. So this guy raises under the gun, and I'm really short, so I shove. Two other guys call. So I flop a 10. I'm like, all right, I'm going to triple up. Right. I'm running good, baby. So the guy bets out when it comes king 10-4, and I'm like, oh, he's got ace king. I got him dead. The other guy folds. It turns over pocket kings. Bet over set. I'm out, right? So I'm like, oh, there goes the trip. So I said, well, I'm not going to come to the Silks and not play in the 50-cent dollar cash game that I've been crushing. So I sign up for that. And I got a hand for you, Scott, real quick. And I know I'm doing a lot of talking here, but I'm starting to feel better now. So, you know, it's good for me to talk.
Run with it, buddy.
But I had this one hand. I was beating the table. I was up about, I don't know, $20 or $30, which is not a lot, but it wasn't that far in yet. So I have king 10 of spades, and I'm in the big blind.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy who was kind of reckless, younger guy, had glasses on, you know, I thought he was cool. He made it real small raise. He made it like $4. And I already had a dollar in there. So another old guy who just loved to bet. Whenever the flop came, no matter what it was, he would bet the flop. No matter what. He comes along. And then now I have to pay $3. And there's a couple, I think one other person came along, but I had to pay like, it was either $3 or $2. It was either a $4 raise or a $3 raise. But I had to pay like $2 or $3 to see a flop, but king 10 of spades. And I'm in the big blind. I said, all right, I'll do it. Flop comes ace of spades, four of spades, and then a rag, like a nine of hearts or something. And so I check. One guy bets. The old man calls. You know, the leading raiser bets. The other guy calls. So I'm like, all right, one of these guys has an ace. So I call the bet and then check dark, which I almost never do.
Yes.
But I check dark thinking, you know, I don't think they're going to think that I'm on a draw. So I check dark. And, of course, bingo, bango, bongo, like the two of spades comes out or whatever it was, and I make the nut flush. So now the original raiser bets like $20. And the old man calls $20. Now I check raise to like, it wasn't 20, it was like 10. So I check raise to like 20. I do a min raise. So then the old man, who's not even his turn to act yet, the old man goes, what were you doing? Slow playing a monster. And I was like, I didn't say anything. I'm watching UConn on the screen over here, you know. I'm watching the basketball game. And the other guy calls. So now the old man takes his cards and he mucks them. He turns to his buddy and he goes, that guy in the end, so easy to read. And I was like, I checked dark. What? I don't understand. What? How am I easy to read? What? Am I easy to read, Scott? Was that easy to read? I checked dark.
No comment.
Oh, please. I checked dark. What else could I do? You know? And then I just min-raised the guy. Now, I asked him, I said, the other guy called.
Right.
And then when it got to the river, I bet like $25. And then the guy called. I felt it him.
Yeah.
So I took my hand up, turned up, and I said, hey, old man, I'm so easy to read. What do I have?
Well, you got ace king.
I said, here's the nut flush. And I wanted to like call him something, you know? So later on, something happened, and I was talking to the guy again, and I was like, yeah, I'm so easy to read. That's why I took half your stack today. And I only won like $40 on the day, you know. But, I mean, I kept taking pots off the old man. But, I mean, he literally said I was easy to read. I'm like, if I'm easy to read, then why did you call the bet? If you knew what I had and I checked dark, then why would you call the $10 bet when you knew I had the nut flush, right? You didn't know I had the nut flush. But I couldn't believe he said that to me.
You're so easy to read.
I'm like, easy to read? I crush this game every time I come here.
Well, that doesn't mean you're not easy to read.
Yeah, okay.
It just means you're getting lucky.
Yeah, yeah. People are
you're
just
a big donkey.
They think I'm so handsome, they're giving me their money. They're like, oh, we don't care that we know you have the best hand. Here's our money.
Well, I tell you, it's been a... we must have targets on our back this week because I got into a little tiff during the 600-600 at Derby, which I flamed out miraculously fairly quickly, even for that that structure. But I got yelled at.
By, like, a player?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And I feel bad, because I'm a nice guy.
Who could ever yell at that cute little face?
That's what I'm saying. But I get yelled at, and I don't know, maybe this woman listened to last week's show and heard that I hate people and didn't think that I was...
Oh, that could be it.
Didn't catch the humor involved in there and that I don't really hate people. But here's the situation. We were in a pot, and I was last to act on the flop. I had a gut shot, so I kind of semi-bluffed at it,
uh-huh.
You know? And the turn missed, and a woman on the other side of the table bet... just picked up, and they had it's a 20,000 chip stack to start with, so they had like a blue 5,000 chip, and she just kind of looked at her chips and picked that up and tossed it in the pot. Uh-huh. Right, so $5,000, you know, decent bet. The pot was about $1,000 at that point, and I obviously didn't have anything.
Right.
So I chuckled and threw my cards in the muck. Right.
Yeah.
Harmless.
Harmless.
Right?
Yeah.
The guy on the other side of this woman next to me. Chuckled with me, and then all of a sudden the woman in the middle, who was not the same woman, shook her head and barked out, "You guys are so sexist." I can't believe this. A woman makes a bet like that and you laugh. A guy makes a bet like that and you don't say anything. It's unbelievable.
Oh my God.
I literally had to back up my chair. I'm like, what just happened here? So I immediately went into kind of a apology mode, which I quickly regretted because I did nothing wrong.
No, I would have laughed at anybody who made that bet.
Exactly.
Five and times the size of the pot.
It had nothing to do with the fact that it was against a woman, but obviously this woman had some kind of bad something going on in her life at some point and decided to take it out on me and this guy next to me. Then, you know, we're just playing cards having fun.
Well, she is right. I mean, you are sexist, but that has nothing to do with this comment at the table. You know what I mean? She got you right on the nose there, but it's got nothing to do with
thanks
the bet.
For that. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Of course you're not sexist. You couldn't be sexist.
But I'm sitting here. I mean, we publish a magazine. The last two covers have had women on it. We have a woman columnist every month. And
yeah, and it's not like, you know, Rounder where they're in thongs or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a legitimate magazine.
I have nothing but respect for female players. It had nothing to do with that. It was just... She caught me in a bluff, and she definitely made sure that I wasn't going to bluff again.
5,000 into a 1,000 pot. I would have laughed at Doyle Brunson making that pot bet. I mean, what is that?
Well, the good thing is the joke kind of continued later on, but I refused to talk to this woman because, you know, hey, I'm sorry, man. If you're going to...
Called you sexist.
Call me out like that, and you had no idea who I am or what I do or anything other than the fact that I laughed at a bet.
Slanderous.
Absolutely slanderous.
You should have said to her, hey, I'm not asking her to get into a thong and be on the cover of a magazine. I freaking laughed at the size of the bet she made. And I would have laughed at the bet no matter who made it. Oh, my God. Don't you just want to smack people sometimes?
Sometimes, yes.
I know.
But I did not.
You wanted to then, though. You felt it.
Maybe.
You felt it.
Maybe.
Felt the rage coming on.
All right, well, let me ask you this, Chris. I'm going to audible a little off of our notes here because I went out to the Silks last night, and you were just talking about how you're a little sick and you're not thinking straight and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I got out there and I found out I was completely out of sorts.
How come?
I probably had better things to do than go out there, but I felt like playing cards. But I was out of sorts, and. It was that, you know, their little 10 plus 10, with the $40 add-on tournament. So
yeah.
I like to get in, try to get, you know, get in cheap for my $20 and hope it lasts. And,
yeah.
I was like, you know, how you play with like two left feet. I was playing with like four left feet.
You were a dog.
Actually not four, because then I'd be like kind of sort of stable. So maybe like three.
Three left feet.
You know, I was making plays at pots that I shouldn't have been. I wasn't making plays at pots that I should have been. And I just didn't have it. One of those nights you didn't have it, right?
Yeah.
And so I went all in with pocket sevens. A guy calls me an ace queen. Of course, they string me along into the river before they put that ace out there and fell me.
Yeah.
And then, so here's the thing, is I reached in my pocket and I pulled out two Andes and gave them to it and rebought.
Oh, and you weren't feeling good.
I wasn't feeling good. So my question is, what about poker makes us play it when we know we're not playing optimally and we're not in the right frame of mind to be playing?
Well, it's not poker that's doing it, it's you. And people always talk about poker and discipline, and that's the key to being a very good player. Clearly, you weren't disciplined enough to say, you know, I should go home and work on Annie up. And that's what you should have done.
That's what I should have done.
You should have gone
yes.
home and said, screw this. I'm going to work on Annie up. I'm going to come up with all these brilliant ideas and make me and Chris rich. But instead, you stayed there and wasted more of Annie up's money. No, I think it's. I don't think it's the game. I think it's just the person. I think that maybe it's the makeup of the player that gets involved in poker.
All right, so it has nothing to do with the discipline. Game.
I don't think it has anything to do with the game.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, yeah, you may, especially when you already go in there and say, you know what, I'm playing like an idiot. I don't know what I'm doing today, so let me put more money in. That's just not right. That's like an addictive thing. You better go call 888 admit it, buddy. Something's not right there. That's why though I like playing cash games, because we had this discussion before about me getting felted twice with two big hands, and I just knew that I was going to come back and play like an idiot, so I didn't, and I stopped. And I don't know. I think it's a discipline thing, but you don't usually have that. Although I guess in the home game sometimes when you get felted, see, the problem with you is that you always have to host. The home game, so you have to keep paying money.
I can't storm out of my house.
Yeah, exactly. You know. But really, I think that...
No, in general, I don't. It's just, you know, I felt like playing cards, and then I got frustrated. I think that's what it was. I got frustrated that
I wasn't
hitting stuff, and I'm like, and then I want to dig out of it, and that's the worst thing to do.
Here's what I would have done if I were you. I would have taken that $40 and gone to the 50-cent dollar table.
Yeah.
Because you're already starting in a hole now against the other guys in the rebuy, and you're not buying again. That's what I would have done.
Well, you're right. But, you know, just for clarification, this tournament, the rebuy is a very good deal. You start with 2,000 chips and you rebuy for 5,000.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As soon as I rebought, I actually was
one of the chip
among
leaders.
The chip leaders at the table.
Oh, okay. That makes a little more
not
sense.
Not that it helped me at all. I got played by some guy to flop the flush.
I hate that.
Killed me.
I hate that.
All right, well, let's lighten it up a little bit. We have a...
that's it? We didn't want to talk some more about you?
No, that's it.
I was enjoying myself.
I feel bad, and I'm moving on now.
All right, well, next time, join the cash game. How's that? That's my advice.
All right, so we got an email recently from our good friend Dan Anglin, longtime listener, and he's already swag certified, so no more swag for him. So we kind of bump it up to the banter here if it's interesting enough to make the show.
No swag for you. 1 year.
And he finally broke down and watched the greatest poker movie ever made, The Cincinnati Kid. And he absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I misread
Are
this.
You reading that backwards?
No, no.
Are you reading it upside down? Because I don't see that here.
All right, well, it was a very funny email, and I'm not going to read it word for word, even though it's funny. But essentially, he kind of wants to know what's going on in my head, because, you know, I talk about how much I love this movie. And he thinks he's missing some kind of deeper message here. The guy makes a bunch of horrible plays and chases down his flush despite getting zero odds and hits the card, and now he's the best. He's like, what's going on?
I know.
So he wants to know why I like this movie so much, because he's obviously missing something.
Yeah, I want to know, too.
You're not going to answer this for me?
No, I want to know why you like this movie, because... Because there is one line here that must be read. Why do you like this movie so much? I'm with Chris. Rounders is better. I noticed how you didn't read that part of it. That's in the letter. Rounders is better. It clearly is a better movie. It's more realistic, and it's more enjoyable, and plus it's, you know, of course, contemporary, and, you know, that movie is just
contemporary
ridiculous.
Is the edge I give it. But I guess that's why I like Cincinnati Kid, because it's not contemporary. It's kind of like this, and I'm a big history buff, so going back in these old kind of movies about how things used to be, even though I'm sure it was completely fictionalized.
Yeah.
Of what poker was like back then, too. But I guess that's why I like it. And maybe I'm overstating the fact that it's better than Rounders, because, you know, if you locked me in a, said I had to go into a padded cell for 30 days and I could take one DVD and had to be Rounders to Cincinnati Kid, I'm probably going to take Rounders.
All right. That's excellent.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that I like it better. It just means that...
It holds up better.
Overall,
a better
continuous
movie.
Continuous 30-day viewing, it holds up better.
Better looking women in it.
Oh,
come on. Yeah. Tuesday Weld and Anne Margaret now versus, you know, Fanky.
Now,
and,
but yeah, back then they were pretty hot. And then, you know, Gretchen Mol. That's a good contest.
Come on. Any movie that has the line, women are the rake, has to be watched because you're sexist.
Oh, no, I'm not. And I'm not saying Rounders shouldn't be watched, but...
I know.
But, you know, I guess it's just a history. That's why I kind of have a special... And Steve McQueen is just the coolest dude
ever. He was cool.
I really feel bad that I was, a little punk when he died and didn't get to see more, but...
He had that cool movie when he was in the Trans Am, driving through the corn stalks. Remember that movie? But anyway,
Children of the Corn?
Not Children of the Corn. Parents of the Corn. But Dan, I'm so glad that you've sent this letter in, because, you know, finally got Scott to admit it, that Rounders was a movie that's worth taking into a padded cell. Oh, man. But it did make me appreciate five card stud.
Yes, that's what Dan said, so that's good.
And me too, so. I think I wrote this letter and just put Dan's name on it.
This
sounds a lot like me.
Very well could be.
Well, speaking of stud.
Yep.
Our next Apes event is Wednesday. And hey, Scott, do you have a seat for that yet? Because I know I do.
Yes, I have purchased a seat for the low price of $5.50.
Now, see, I didn't have to purchase a seat because someone paid $5.50 for me. Now, I was wondering, how does that not a cash? That's a cash, isn't it? I
mean, that's an interesting debate.
$5.50 got put up for me to play in this tournament. That's cash.
That is an interesting debate going on the forums at NEMmagazine.com/forums.
Let me ask you, if Eric Seidel walked up to you and said, Scott, I want to be your backer. I want to put you in the L.A. Poker Class. Like, we're not that many people actually enter the event, according to Scott.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, Eric's probably not going to do that because he doesn't think highly of me.
But if he does, do you consider that real money that he's putting in the tournament for? I think it's real money. I think it's real money. Didn't have to come out of your pocket. I think it's cash. I think I cashed in Apes before you. I think I win the bet.
There's a lot of debate on that on the forum. Actually, there's not a lot of debate. Most people are siding against you.
Yeah, I know.
Nice,
what the hell? If it was you, it'd be like, oh, Scott, yeah, he cashed. Yeah. Scott's fantastic. He's my favorite. Yeah, whatever. The stud event is Wednesday, April 8th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to anyupmagazine.com/AIPS to see the details. And we do have something to address with this.
Yeah, we're just real quickly. Actually, last week we talked about the free roll and the number of what we call interlopers.
Yeah.
That have been participating, and it's aggravating at least a small faction of the nation.
Yeah, you call them interlopers. I call them leeches.
All right, interlopers sounds a little
sponges.
More fun.
Interlopers. Too big of a word.
But anyhow, there's a big discussion going on anyupmagazine.com/forum about the free roll and what we can do to kind of keep these folks out. And I promised I would talk to Poker Stars, and I did, and they were very polite and said, we're the world's largest online poker room. This kind of stuff happens with free rolls. People find the passwords. They get in.
Yeah.
There's really not a lot you can do. And the things that you can do are inadvertently going to keep out the people that you want to play or at least frustrate them. But, if people come up with ideas, we'll certainly address them. But it's just kind of the nature of a free roll. I mean, it's a free tournament.
Yeah, and point well taken. I mean, it's not because PokerStars is our sponsor or anything like that. It's the truth. Even if you put it on the show, even if we said, okay, the password is sexist. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're going to assign someone from their group to listen to the show to find it, and then they're going to pass it out anyway. Yeah, really makes it six of one, half dozen of the other. So, but we did have a call from someone that we want
to
play.
I did encourage people to come up with a creative solution to this, and if something does come up that, and I put some qualifiers on the forum. That I won't go into here, but if we get an idea that meets all three of those qualifiers, then we'll certainly look at it. But this has been the most interesting of the ideas, even though it's somewhat flawed, but let's listen to it.
Hey, what's up, guys? A little listener, Tom here from Baltimore, Maryland. Just had an idea for your free rolls. If you make it one FPP instead of free, it may solve some of your, international problems.
All right, Tom from Baltimore, thank you very much. This has been the one people have been suggesting using one frequent player point, which I also understand, I didn't realize this, but somebody told me, one of our listeners, that you can earn FPPs even on the play money part of the PokerStars, which is one of the reasons that I haven't been too excited about it, because I want our folks that are our new beginner to be able to get in and play a free roll, and hopefully that encourages them to play Apes and then put some money in PokerStars and move up to the big leagues. So, here's the thing about the one frequent player point I don't like is on principle, and principles are such a weak thing sometimes. But I just don't like the fact that the nation has to put up something of value, even something as small as one tiny frequent player point to prevent other people from getting in. It doesn't seem right to me.
And it's not free then.
Yeah.
It's not a free roll. Then it's a frequent player point roll.
And then the other thing is, I'm just not sure that these folks are going to be discouraged by one.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, some other I understand some other people running free rolls are doing this now. So we'll keep an eye on that and see whether they have good success with it. So maybe we'll try it.
But. Yeah. And bottom line is, it's something that we didn't have before. And if you're getting frustrated by it, you don't have to play in it. You know what I mean? You could just pony up the money. But here's a free chance to get a seat, and I got a seat. If I can get a seat, you can get a
seat. Yeah, that's true.
And I did it with a 308 player field in stud.
Yeah,
worst
so apparently
game.
These interlopers are not very good
players.
They're
not very
Chris
good.
Can do
so
well.
If I can do it, you can do it. So just find the inner patience that Scott couldn't find at the Silks the other night. find that and just enjoy the free roll.
All right, real quickly, one more shout out for Annie Up Poker Cruise. Go to annieupmagazine.com/cruise and get all the details of this August 20th to 24th huge poker party on the Gulf of Mexico with Chris and I. And the roster is getting bigger. In addition, on board, you'll have Annie Up's online columnist, John Lanier. The healthy bet columnist, Dr. Frank Toscano. Maybe we can get some other doctors on there and they can have a little doctor fight.
Yeah, I want to see them like in like the, you know, the what's that diaper that the big fat wrestlers wear?
Sumo.
Yeah, yeah, I want to see these, yeah. I want to see these guys like sumo around the pool. You know, I don't care. Ritalin's good. No, yeah. It's not. Adderall's the best. I want to see these guys going at it.
And maybe get the Dion Ship doctor to join in, too.
Dion Ship. Oh, no, he's too busy picking up chicks in the bar with...
Isaac and Gopher.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
And finally, the Bard himself, Mike Faso, has booked a cabin as well, too. So folks that are looking to idolize him and meet him and follow him around on a cruise ship where he cannot escape, this is your opportunity.
Wow, I can already hear our travel agent's phone ringing off the hook. Because Bard has so many fans.
He does.
He does. So he's gonna get. We're going to get bombarded.
He does. Excellent. All right, so again, that's anyupmagazine.com/cruise. And remember, the first 10 people still get $50 off.
Did you see I said bombard for the Bard?
Bombard
did
is very like nice.
That? Oh, like by the way, that. And it's Chris and me, not Chris and I. You know, I got to keep correcting.
But I like that. I like Chris and I better. That's my one. I get one free pass in grammar, and that's the one I've chosen.
Hey, I hear the Annie Up News Desk.
Team Aced, led by former world champ Jamie Gold, won the first Dream Team tournament open to the public, pocketing $60,000. Gold finished ninth in the event.
So he finished ninth, but his team won.
Yes. One of his teammates, I think, finished fourth, was the highest. But wow. It's all based on points, and they have timeouts. And it's a pretty cool concept, the Dream Team. They did one practice one, and now this is the first one that was open to the public.
Cool. Do you think that Jamie Gold is a good player now?
He is good enough to win the Dream Team and a World Series main event.
There you go. He's got it all now. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
PokerStars.net will be the title sponsor of the fifth season of the Heartland Poker Tour, the hugely popular Midwestern small stakes televised poker tour.
Wow. Another push from PokerStars to just... to really be everywhere.
Blanket the earth.
Good for them.
And the Heartland Tour is just so cool. I mean, I like watching it from afar. Of course, they don't come down this far. Though
I wish they would.
Yeah. So maybe they will now. Maybe they'll start spreading down this way. But I know a lot of our listeners like to play in it and follow it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Casino de Montreal will leave its 10 electronic poker tables for patrons who prefer them, but has opened 15 live tables with bets starting at $1 and $2.
Sweet.
Andy Up Newshound Eric Arsenal sent that.
Oh, that's cool.
Also, Newsday reports that the Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City has removed 14 automated poker tables after trying them out for a few months. People there didn't really like them.
So that means they're replacing them, though, with real staff and real people, though? Or are they just stopping it all
together?
That's
a good question. I don't know.
I know they had real tables. They always host the U.S. Open.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
sure.
So they probably they probably just got rid of them.
But, you know, an interesting development, you know, is these electronic tables try to find a foothold, and then some people just kind of reject them. And some places, they're still going well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's always going to be a room for
it's all based on the market, I guess. Yep. And then finally, a bill progressing through the Florida Senate would lift most restrictions on gambling in the Sunshine State, including ones for buy-ins, bet limits, and operating hours for poker rooms. But before we get too excited, Chris, the Florida House's version is starkly different.
Hey, I didn't know about this. Could you tell me a little bit? You know, it's funny. I had a lot of fun this week with a lot of our listeners because they kept sending us emails saying, holy cow, guys, you're going to be rich, or, oh, my God, you guys know about this? And of course, I sent them back emails saying, oh, my God, we had no idea. Thanks. You know, and then, you know, of course, I love it when our listeners look out for us and everything.
Yeah, and I
obviously was teasing them, but it could be huge news for us, and then it could be no news for us. That's the way it always is with the government, you know. But if they do open it up to true no limit and bigger buy-ins and bigger tournaments, get the WPT here, you know, it could mean a lot. Plus, you know, the rooms now will start, you know, we have rumors that, you know, rooms on the other coast are looking to be like the East Coast place to play poker if this happens legitimately. Yeah. So. Yeah. Could be pretty huge.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's a pretty bold move by the Senate here to, essentially what they're doing is putting all the cards on the table, all the chips in the middle, and saying, let's just quit ticking around on this poker and gambling in the state and just realize that people are going to play it. And then the House, of course, is like, oh, no, we can't do that. So I'm sure there'll be some, a lot of...
you and your damn... voice cracks me up.
There'll be a lot of negotiation and compromise probably on this, but hopefully good stuff comes out.
We will keep you up to date. You know what happens, Scott, when you call 813-448-1120?
You win a Ford Explorer?
You win a... Well, we're trying to reach you. We've been trying to reach you, and we have this Ford Explorer here just waiting to give to you. But really, you reach the Annie Up hotline, and if we use the clip that you leave, we may give you something really cool from our swag shelf. So I know that Michael Young called us today, and he wants to talk about charity tournaments. Let's listen to that.
Hey, guys. It's Mike Young from Maryland. I want to let you know that I played in a charity poker tournament in Washington, D.C. last night. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people were, you know, a good crowd was out there. Mike Sexton hosted, and you know, your boy Lee Childs was there, along with Andy Block and a few others. What do you think of charity poker games? Secondly, when people wish you luck, like when you go on stage, they say break a leg. What's the equivalent in poker terms? Okay, keep up the good work. Talk to you later.
All right, first of all, Michael, I hope you have a wonderful season transitioning to third base, because you could be the cornerstone of my fantasy team. Yeah, I mean, charity tournaments, I mean, what's not to like about charity tournaments? It's all for the kids, right?
Yeah, that's the best part. It makes you feel good. And you can write it off if it's a big enough event.
That's true. I mean, obviously, most charity tournaments, you're dealing with, like, lower chip stacks, and you start out, and...
quickly escalating blinds.
Lots of blinds and that. So they're probably not optimal for poker playing, but, you know,
yeah.
You get in and you got to consider that and just have some fun.
And he says, what's the poker equivalent to break a leg? I don't know.
Break a bank?
No, like get a paper cut on your finger from the cards? I have no idea.
Get a paper cut? Yeah, that's interesting.
Break a leg.
We'll see. We'll see what the nation comes up with. How about this? We'll do a special swag wheel spin next show.
If somebody comes up with
the best saying, email to us at podcast@indiantmagazine.com. How's that? And if you're the only one that emails it and it's completely lame, you still get swag, so...
Go broke! I mean, I don't know what the hell it could be, because they always tell you something negative to combat the, that's what break a leg
means.
That'd
be great. And not only that, well, maybe we'll put it on a t-shirt. How's that? So you're...
Oh my god, you and your damn t-shirts.
You'll win some swag, and your creativity will be perpetually honored on 100% cotton made in the USA.
Alright, well, let's spin the wheel and see what our buddy gets here.
Thank you, Michael. You get a set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from greatpokerhands.com. Shoot us your address at podcast@annieupmagazine.com, and we'll get those fine cards out to you ASAP.
Excellent. Now, earlier we had a letter from Dan England, and he's maxed out on the stuff.
Yeah,
but we did get another letter this week from Mike from Detroit Lakes. And do you want to read it? Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, real quickly. He just says he wants to know how we define a session. He says, do we set a dollar amount up so much or down so much time, an hour before work, or play until 4 a.m. or something else? So how do you define your session, Chris?
When the cashier balance says 000, my session is over. I don't have any parameters to anything. I play. If I'm winning, I keep playing. And if I'm tired, I quit. If I'm losing, I keep playing, and if I'm broke, I quit. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I sit down, and I'm like, you know what? This is great. I just doubled my bankroll or whatever. I leave. Or if I'm like, you know what? I just lost $10, and I'm playing nickel dime here. That's a lot. I'm going home. I don't know. No, I have no, I really, I just, it depends on how I'm sitting down. Just like the other night, you know, when you were playing, you know, if you had a parameter where if I go bust, I'm going home,
yep,
you would have saved the extra $40. So I don't know. I think it just depends on you that day. I don't. You had a system when you and I first started hanging out together. You tried that $100 up, $100 down thing.
Yep.
That flamed, didn't it?
Yep. That did not go well.
It doesn't work out that well.
I didn't have the bankroll to really support that. I should have had a smaller swing involved. But you know, the thing is, you know, I think what ruined that really is I just like to play poker, which is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. I just like to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I feel like I want to play, I'm going to play even, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to need to seek out probably a better tables or situations when I want to play, then I'm not sticking to place that I'm not winning. But I can't just turn off the computer if I hit a goal and, you know, watch American Idol.
No, exactly.
It doesn't work for me.
No, exactly. And if you still feel like playing, then you're going to keep playing. So I can never put parameters on my session. I mean, I don't know if you're trying to define what a session is, because I think a session is anytime you sit down and get back up again. You know,
okay.
I mean, I'm not talking about you win one hand and leave, but I'm talking about anytime you sit down with the intent of playing poker for a while. And when you're done, that's your session. And I don't really, I don't have any parameters at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why I play a lot more tournaments now, because it kind of forces you into a session.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get a lot of play generally, unless you're, you get sucked out on. And then when the tournament's over, boom, turn the computer off.
And here's another good reason why not to. Let's say you say, okay, I'm going to put time on my parameter for a session. I'm going to play for 2 hours today. And then 45 minutes in, you're making all the wrong moves, and you're losing a lot of money. What, are you going to force yourself to play another hour and 15 minutes because you said you were going to play for 2 hours, you know? No, you can't do that. You have to play optimally for whatever's best for you at that moment, whether it's because you're winning or losing. So I just can't, I can't put parameters on the session. But all right, Scott, why don't you spin the wheel today? Because last week I was breathing on the wheel.
You had a little Tommy John surgery after the spinning you do.
And if I touch the wheel and then you touch the wheel, you might get Mike cold. We may never get rid of this thing. So why don't you spin the wheel?
All right, here we go. Spin it. And, Mike, you win a lovely Nuts card protector from PokerFaces.tv. That's a new one from us.
Yeah, and I wonder what that looks like.
It doesn't look like what you think.
What does it look like?
It's family-friendly.
Okay.
The guy's just kind of nutty-looking.
Oh, he's crazy-looking?
Yeah, it's not like, you know, those things you see hanging off the back of trucks.
No. I wasn't thinking that. I was wondering if it was like walnuts or peanuts or something.
No.
You're bad. No. You're so sexist.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of the Golden Push Monkey. It's very late in an online 34K, and out of 1,000-plus players, there are only about 110 or so left. We are in the money, and we have 12K in chips, but it's been a long road.
Whoa. What a way to start the day. Is there any coffee around here?
Unfortunately for us, the average stack has risen to 40K as so many players have been knocked out since the bubble. In this hand, blinds are 800 and 1600. There's a 200 ante, and we're in the small blind. So we're already in for 900. It's been a very aggressive table, and then suddenly a fundamental shift. After three folds, one of the stacks of 43K limps. And the stack right behind him limps. And after the cutoff folds, the button simply calls the 1600. It's at this point I look down at six of hearts, two of diamonds in the small blind. Very uncharacteristically, I'm going to call. It's half a bet. There's 5-1 pot odds. But don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with folding here. The big blind checks, and we're going to have five players see a flop.
We are proceeding with caution.
I stare at the nearly 10,000 in chips in the pot as the flop comes down two of spades, five of spades, six of spades. Well, Mr. Two Pair, what are you going to do?
Okay, I'm not even going to try to define that, what that title of that one-minute mystery is.
Yeah, that's probably the most interesting title yet.
But one quick look at it. All right, so we have two pair. And there's all these spades on the board, and there's all these limpers. What do we do? I do have to say that twice in recent history, I've gone broke with this. Because once it was an apes event, and I thought, but it wasn't that many limpers. It was like heads up.
Yeah.
Now, there's no way this guy has the nut flush, or a flush at this point, you know. So I'm going to shove. Because I had a small stack anyway. And, of course, he had the flush. And then another time, I did the same thing, and the guy had this is just recently. I was in the blinds. And I got the check, and I had 9-6, and it came 9-6 jack, and nine people had limped in. So I had two pair. So I bet, another guy raised, another guy called, I called. And the turn came a six, and I thought, okay, well, now I got a boat, and the guy had pocket jacks. He had limped with pocket jacks and a 10-way limp.
God, who limps with pocket jacks? That's ridiculous.
A 10-way limp in a cash game. And so I lost like a huge pot to a bigger boat. So at this point, I really don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to think here. I want to see what the Antioch Nation thinks. You know, I mean, you might want to put a feeler bet out there, but you know, any spades coming along.
Yeah, I don't know if feeler bet's really going to work here. You got so many people in this pot, and you know, many ways you're going to lose this.
Yeah. Somebody could have a set because of all the limping, low card sets, and also somebody could even have a straight here, which is not beyond reason when it's limping, you know? So, and it's pretty deep into the tournament, so I don't know what to do here. I might just be happy with a small pot, check and see what
I'm
happens.
I'm going to check and
be
see what happens.
Be defensively. Keep the pot small.
We'll see what happens.
All right, we'll see what happens.
And that's not all. Buy today and we'll send you completely free.
Ever thought that some offers are just too good to be true?
Yes, that's an incredible 42-piece set for only $19.95. Yes, you heard us.
That you don't generally get something for nothing?
Free! Free! Free!
Well, at PokerStars, you actually do. Because the minute you sign up as a real money player, you automatically join our VIP club and start earning player points towards hundreds of items, from plasmas to Porsches to seats at major poker tournaments. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to see why our rewards program makes other offers seem, well, a lot of hot air. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Hey, Scott, you know, I call this a spoiler interview because, you know, if you're like I used to be and you don't want to hear about the results of big tournaments that you might catch on TV down the road, there's just no way you can listen to this show. But when a star like Huckleberry Seed agrees to come on your show, you say yes and damn the fans who stick their ears, you know, their fingers in their ears and go la, 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 you know. I got to tell you, Scott, you know, for me, Huck Seed is one of my poker heroes on so many different levels, and I'm sure we'll get into that during the interview, so let's just get right into it. Huck, thanks for joining up with the Ante Up Nation today.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on the show. Yeah, I'm excited to be on the show. Yeah, I've been meaning to go to Florida, so I can just be there on the radio, I guess.
Well, hey, we'd love to have you come here sometime.
Yeah, I've missed it out there. It's been a long time, so I'm just going to see how this goes, and then that might get me out there to the beach soon.
Yeah, you can always play in our home game, man, no matter when you want to play.
Thanks for the invite, man. Yeah, I might have to do that.
Okay.
What stakes do you guys play?
2-4, and by 2-4 I mean $2, $4.
That's the blinds. Well, that can be a big game depending on how much, you know, a no-limit game.
Yep.
Doesn't really matter what the blinds are. If people put money on the table, it can get crazy.
Well, we're looking forward to you coming then.
I might have to take you up on that. I'll definitely let you know when I'm in the area.
Okay. Well, you know, we really are honored to have you on the show, especially because you don't do very many interviews. Now, what's the reason behind that, that you shy away from the media?
You know, it's just that in the past, I really never enjoyed it. I never had any desire to, you know, be on TV. That just wasn't my thing. You know, I liked playing poker, doing whatever else I like to do, so I just didn't do it because I didn't have a passion for it. But, you know, I never meant to be famous. But now that I am, you know, I'm just trying to embrace that and give a little back to the game.
Are your major victories bittersweet because of the spotlight and the demand for the interviews, or are you warming up to it now, it sounds like?
No, I'm okay with it now. You know, I'm actually starting to enjoy these interviews a lot.
You wouldn't prefer the poker boom to have never happened then, just go back to making a great living without anybody knowing who you are?
No, not really. I love the fact that, you know, poker has been embraced all around the world, and, you know, everyone loves the game that I love. You know, it's great to see the game flourish like that.
Well, of course, we've got to talk about the big news, and we got to let it out the bag. Congratulations on winning the NBC National Heads Up Championship this year.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. That win meant a lot to me. Actually, it was one of the first wins where I actually felt kind of like a team feeling, and I was playing for the team, you know, because I played for Full Tilt, and last year, down to the final four players, it was all Full Tilt players, but this year I was only Full Tilt player left, so I kind of felt like, you know, I was playing for the team, and in the way the poker world is now, you know, it's not like it used to be. You just played for yourself, but now there's so many people involved, and that was part of the new, you know, the new poker world.
And, you know, Scott Fishman always picks you to win his heads-up brackets. Every year, he thinks you're the best heads-up player on the planet. And now you actually have the best record in this event. Yet it's your first major heads-up win. How'd you get such a strong reputation for being such a good heads-up player?
Well, I'm taller than everybody. I think that's intimidating, right?
Yeah.
Except for Phil Helmuth. He's up there, but yeah, I mean, heads up can be a game of intimidation. Thanks a lot, Scott, for your great compliment. Scott has a pretty good record himself, I believe. Does he have the second best record?
I think Jesus might have the second best record, but he's right up
there.
Oh,
he has second, but Scott is cashed every year in the
yeah.
NBC heads up.
Yeah.
Except for this, he has a pretty strong showing.
Huck, I want to know, how do you prepare for a heads-up tournament versus a different tournament? Do you study your opponents, or do you have to get into that at all, do you think?
Well, to prepare for any tournament, you know, if you want to play in a heads-up tournament, you got to play a lot of heads-up. So I've had a long poker career, 20 years. So I've played a lot of heads-up, so I feel ready. When I prepare for a poker tournament, I'm just more concerned about, you know, getting my sleep, being, you know, fresh, get a little workout in.
So one of the players that you faced along the way was someone who spends a lot of time here in Florida. His name's Glenn Chorney. And you guys had a really big hand to end your match. Can you tell us what it was like to play Glenn, and then also maybe a little bit about that hand?
Well, you know, the show hasn't aired yet, so I'm not really supposed to talk about the specific hands.
Okay.
It was an interesting match. I had never played with Glenn. We had a little friendly conversation, you know, before the match, and we had actually played. We found out that we had played each other, you know, on Full Tilt before, so that was cool. So we did have actually a little history, even though I thought I had never played with him before. He told me what his screen name was and everything. It was definitely a tough match, you know. But I guess that's all I can say about it right now.
Okay. Do you think they'll take that $500,000 away from you if you say anything to us?
Probably not, but it's coming out soon, you know. It's going to air April 12th.
That's
so
true. Okay.
Now, when you have those little those pre-match chats, like you said with Glenn, do you ever try to get into your opponent's head on those, or are those all strictly friendly and up and up?
It's both, you know. It's both. It's fun to talk and chat, see how the guy's doing. It's, you know, it's a social event, you know. Have a little fun. I really enjoyed, you know, playing with everybody that I played with this year. It was a lot of fun, this tournament.
Well, the person you beat in the final was Vanessa Russo, and she's pretty much considered the queen of Florida poker. How was she as an opponent, and did you pick up anything on her?
Yeah, you know, she reminds me a lot of these young internet players that are just so open with their information. You know, the final match was 2 out of 3. So after the first match, she really wanted to kibitz and, like, what did you have this hand? And, you know, she came out right away and said, you know, I did this and this is what I had. What did you have in this hand? But I didn't really want to go there.
Who was your toughest opponent along the route?
Well, actually, the toughest opponent was Sammy Farha. Not necessarily because he played the toughest against me, because I was low mental energy in that match. And I just wasn't playing at my best. I just was at a little mental low, and that made the match really tough for me.
Okay, well, I did a little research, and I know you have about $4.6 million in tournament winnings, but this $500,000 cash is your largest since taking down the world title in 96. And you've had smaller wins along the way, but do you feel like this sort of completes your comeback?
Yeah, you know, I had a few years there where I went through a period of, you know, depression and problems in my life, and I wasn't really that focused on poker, you know, so that was part of the reason why I really didn't have any big tournament wins.
Right.
Plus, you know, tournaments are hard to win, and there's a lot of luck and variance involved, so you can go years and years if you just, even if you're playing really well, you might just keep getting 9th and 27th, you know, on and on. So whenever you win a big tournament, it's, you know, you are lucky to get through all those people.
All right, so Scott, here's one of the reasons why Huck's one of my heroes. He has 4 bracelets, but 2 of them are in Raz. And I used
yes.
to, you know, Huck, I used to chat with you online when you were playing high stakes Raz. I'm sure you don't know who it was, or whatever. I'm not going to tell you my name, but you used to always answer my questions. Yeah, you used to always answer my questions. And, you know, here on Nanny Up, we have a slogan. It's called Let's Play Raz. Everybody that listens to our show likes to play the game. And why is it one of your favorite games?
Well, I'm glad you guys enjoy the game. You know, it's a great game. It started out being one of my worst games, and I didn't really understand it. I was just a natural hold'em player, and then I started working on the game, and then after, you know, a couple of years of working on the game, then I saw the beauty of the game. Why do you guys like the game?
You know, for me, it's because I'm an idiot, and it's so much easier. It's so much easier to keep track of, not having to keep track of flushes and straights, and I know where I stand on Fifth Street, and so it's a much easier game.
Yeah, that's one thing I like that too. You know, when you start out as a hold'em player, you know, you're not keeping track of all the cards and all the suits like in stud and stud eight or better.
Right.
In Raz, you got to keep track of the cards, but it's not the suits, so you can kind of, you know, you don't have to. It's not that hard to remember the cards. I do like that about it, coming from hold'em going to a stud game, you know?
Right.
And that was kind of the stud game that I first, well, I played 7-card stud too, but that was one nice thing about it. What was I going to say? sorry, I lost my train of thought. Just thinking about Raz. Now I'm daydreaming about Raz. And so anyway, I was not a good Raz player when I first started, and I played with some of the best players. You know, the late Chip Reese was an amazing Raz player. Bobby Buckler, Ted Forrest. You know, these are some of the guys that I learned from, and it was amazing. You know, playing with them. It's not my most natural game, so it did mean a lot to me to succeed in Raz when it was one of my weaker games, you know, to start out.
Do you think it will ever see a resurgence of Raz, or it actually get kind of a higher profile than it has now? Because not a whole lot of people really know about it.
Well, lowball game, you know, I'd like to explain to you how lowball games originated. Do you want to hear this?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
People were playing high games, you know, making flushes, straights, and whatnot, and the people that couldn't win would just sit and complain, I never get a pair. I never get anything. I always have completely nothing. And then they were like, well, why don't you play a game where the lowest hand wins? Oh, I'd win every day. I'd break you all, you know? And that's how the game started. Everyone who couldn't win at the high games was like, oh, they were deluded. They weren't, you know, in tune with the fact that they just were playing poorly. They just thought it was the luck. So these people thought they were just going to crush the world because they never get anything. And so they started playing low ball, and these guys were ready to ante up their whole house, you know. They really put the mortgage on this. So the low ball games got really big, you know, when it first started, because all these people, oh, I've been going back for years, and I'm never going to get a pair. I'm going to get deuce, three, four, five, seven every hand, and I'm going to break you all. But I think then eventually they got broke at that, too, and then the game died out. But I think that's how it started, so, you know. Somebody out there is losing at Hold'em. If enough people are losing, a big lowball game may start up soon. I don't know.
All right, well, not to bring the interview down a little bit, but you did bring up the depression, and I guess it's no secret that you were into drugs and alcohol at one point in your life. But, you know, just like a really good poker player does, you know, you change gears and you beat the lesser opponent. How did you get to that point, and how hard was it to get clean?
Well, actually, I really don't want to talk about that on the radio. I think that's something, you know, that's better discussed in small groups, or it's a personal thing.
Okay.
But I do want to say that, you know, my experiences there now do help me. If you want to relate it to poker, if there's someone at the table that's drinking or high, I can really understand, you know, what they're thinking or how they're playing, or, you know, because I've been there and done that, so.
Oh, great. Well, let's talk about your dad a little bit. Apparently, he had an affinity for Mark Twain, hence your name. But there's another connection to Mark Twain, right? Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, my dad, when I was 7 years old, I realized that I had a unique name. So I went to my dad. I was like, whoa, why did you pick the name Huckleberry? And he said, well, if you ever become a famous baseball pitcher, you won't need a nickname. I don't know if you remember back in the day when it was kind of a fad that all those baseball pitchers had the nicknames Sandy Koufax, Meadowlark Lemon, all those kind of catchy nicknames.
Yeah, yeah.
He just thought that would be a catchy nickname. My dad was a real good athlete, so I guess he thought I might be a famous athlete someday. He was a world-class gymnast and diver and pole vaulter, trampolinist.
Well, speaking of Mark Twain, wasn't there a short story about a gambler that really affected you as well?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that story when I read it. You know, I went through I always like to read Mark Twain. I mean, my dad, that was one of his favorite writers, and that's, you know, where he got the name from, Huckleberry Finn. I was named after Huckleberry Finn. But that's a great story. What was it called? The Leaping Frog of Calaveras County, I think that was.
Okay.
Yeah, that really, when I first read that story, it kind of reminded me of my lower 20s when I really liked to just make all kinds of crazy side bets, and it was fun, you know, to bet on all kinds of different things.
So tell us about some of those prop bets you've taken. I mean, there's probably a bunch of unusual ones we could list, but what was probably the sickest one that you've done?
I just to talk about the short story, it reminded me of when I was in my low 20s and I had been playing poker every day for like a year without, you know, only just walking to my car and back. That was the only exercise I was getting, and I love sports. And so I made a bet where I was going to go out and run a marathon, or, you know, in a certain time, with just being in the worst shape I'd ever been in. So it was just exciting. I thought I could do it, but I knew it was going to be so tough. I'd never run more than 5-6 miles in my life. You know, I used to run in high school, but in cross country. But we went out to the track, and I ran about half the way and walked half the way, and that was enough to win the time that I had to do it in.
Man.
But I made it, though. And a couple days after that, another funny story, which could have been gambling, but it wasn't. A couple days after that marathon, I was at the Las Vegas Sporting House, which is now the Sapphire Strip Club. I don't know if you know Vegas that well.
Yeah, we've seen the ads.
You know, they're just turning everything into strip clubs out here. It's sad, you know. I used to love playing basketball at that gym. It was in the center of town, and there was a lot of NBA players and just really good players who would come and play there. So I was there with Phil Hellmuth, and we were shooting around. Phil likes to play basketball too. And we look down the other end of the court, and there's Larry Johnson and Billy Owens, sitting there fooling around. So Phil runs right over there right away. He's like, "My friend wants to play you one-on-one for as much money as you got. He wants to play you." What are you doing? But luckily, it was their senior year college. They weren't in the NBA yet, so they weren't allowed to gamble, So that saved me some money, or Phil some money, probably. But I was playing Billy Owens one-on-one. I was beating him 7-3. But then, I decided, I got cocky and decided to start, driving around. And I was shooting outside, and I was making everything. And Larry Johnson was like, and Billy was like, "This guy can shoot." And Larry was just like, "They all shoot like that. What are you talking about?" And then Phil was like, "Well, are you going to play him next?" And he's like, "Well, if he wins, I'll play him." So he was pretty cocky. Billy was really humble. But then I started trying to drive, and I couldn't really move after having run a marathon, a day or two earlier. I just had no quickness in me, My legs were beat up.
Oh, man, I bet.
But that got me, started getting me back into shape. The crazy bets a lot of times are just a motivation for me to help, get out of that poker chair, try to get my body back in shape.
Oh, well, speaking of that, I guess your latest prop bet is to run a mile in under 4:39 by the end of the year. Is that still going on? And just turning 40, do you feel like you're going to be able to do that?
Yeah, I was just brought that up to my dad last night to see if he thought I could do it. He thought I could. I have some interesting, charts. I'm a little bit of a track and field fan, and my little brother's a distance runner, so... once in a while I dabble in the track and field. Yeah, I think I'm going to be able to do it. Certainly going to, I made a big bet with Doyle Brunson years ago, and I trained hard for a year, and I lost the bet, but I was like, I just felt like it was my gym fees or something.
Exactly.
I was in shape. I didn't care. I was like, it was worth that money I lost. Win or lose, it's worth it. If you can motivate yourself to get out there and get in shape and feel really good,
Absolutely. What kind of a clip are you running a mile at right now?
I don't know, really. I haven't really tried one. But I'm out here in Las Vegas. The weather's beautiful. I went to a track meet, high school track meet last week. It was exciting. So I'm looking to enter a little track meet here in the next week or two and see what I can
excellent.
Run.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
So do you have any other prop bets going on?
Well, I have a weight bet with Phil Hellmuth. I was playing too much internet poker and just sitting in front of the screen and eating, and I threw on like 30 pounds of fat out of nowhere,
Oh my God.
And I was on the phone with Phil, and I was like complaining, "Oh, I'm so fat, I'm so heavy, I'm fat." I still wasn't that heavy, my normal weight is like 185, so I went up to like 215. He was like, "Oh, you're almost 40, and, people started preaching to me about, how, everyone gains 2 pounds a year, and the older you get, it's natural to put on weight. I'm like, "No, Phil, I can get down to my normal weight or whatever weight I want." So we made a bet on it. I had to get the 30 pounds off and then maintain under 185. So I have that bet going right now. It doesn't really matter anyway, because these bets, it's more the spirit of the bet.
Uh-huh.
And whether it would be, a lot of times people bet a dollar, millionaires will bet a dollar, and it's more just about the spirit of the bet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, can you say this?
It's not a lot of money, but it's mainly I just want to beat Phil,
Can you say this? If you lose, do you have to make a grand entrance to the World Series like Phil does every year?
It's fun to bet, sometimes it's fun to bet things like that besides money. I haven't really made a bet like that. Sometimes when people are challenging me, I'll challenge them back, and I'll be like, "All right, well, you want to play for that? Let's just play for a finger, or we can cut off a foot,
Oh, man.
Let's play for, or, What was that, the Mayans or the Aztecs? They had that game where they would play to the death.
Oh.
Zach, have you heard about that?
No. I don't think so.
You haven't heard about that. There was a culture, yeah, way back in the day, in some like ancient Indian culture, they played this game that was somewhat similar to basketball, I seem to remember. They would throw this ball up into a hole or something.
Yeah.
And the losing team, they would like be killed or commit suicide or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
That's serious stakes there. So every once in a while, you know, I think of that, and I'm like, I toy with the idea of challenging someone to play, you know, heads up to the death or whatever, but
oh my God.
So far, one of those type of matches hasn't come up.
All right, well, we know you're busy. We'll let you go, but we have one last question. How do you feel now with this win under your belt heading into the World Series?
Oh, it's a great win. You know, it's motivated me, you know, to step up my game. I'm real excited for the World Series. Right now, I'm really not playing that much poker. I just want to, you know, it can be really grueling, the World Series. So I seem to do better when I just relax, get in good physical shape. You know, I think it's real important in those grueling tournaments to be in good physical shape. That's kind of what I'm working on now. But it was a really good win. I'm going to try to hang on to that winning feeling and the good grooves I was in and try to carry that into the World Series for sure.
Excellent. All right, well, Huck, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
It was a good time, man. I hope you guys invite me back after the show airs so we can actually talk about those exact hands, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a deal.
Absolutely.
Heck.
And we'll see you at the series.
If you guys want me back, I'd be happy to come back. Enjoy that Florida sun, man.
Kick it! Hi, this is Team Poker Stars Pro Vanessa Russo, and you're listening to the Ante Up PokerCast.
You gotta fight for your right to party!
End of the week this week comes all the way from Reno.
Oh, cool.
I once shot a guy just to see him die there.
Okay, Johnny. So what is that? The biggest little town? What the hell is the name of the Reno slogan?
Yeah, that sounds something like that. Yeah, yeah, the biggest small town.
World's
there.
World's biggest little town,
or the littlest big.
Yeah,
I saw that. Night. Yeah, I guess we actually got to go and see it for ourselves. But you know, I've never. I shouldn't say I've never been to Reno. I was in Reno as a kid, but I don't remember much. But I haven't been out there since I've been a poker player.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard there's good poker out there.
Oh yeah.
So we'll see. Obviously, Jason from Reno can tell us how good the poker is out there, and
we'll find out.
You know whether he shoots people to watch them die. All right, he says he's sure we're going to find this one interesting, Chris.
All right.
No doubt in his mind that we're going to find this interesting.
Okay.
He's going to put himself out there.
All right.
Because you've got a pretty high bar.
I have a high threshold for interesting things.
All right. It's early in a local casino tournament in Reno. He's just under the starting stack of 9,000. Blinds are at 2550. We're still in the first level. The under the gun limps. And our hero has 9 of clubs, 9 of spades.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we seated in relation to this? Are there any folds since then?
He does not say, but the button is behind us, so we are at no better than the cutoff position.
Okay, well,
between under the gun plus 2 and the cutoff.
I'm going to limp. Why? You going to ask me why?
And I'm impressed that you're going to limp here, because that's what I would do. But
I hate pocket nines. They are the worst hand. Pocket eights just below it, but pocket nines, I hate them. And I would just rather flop a set or get an all underboard than risk raising here, and it's so early in the tournament, you know, you're not gonna bust somebody on the first hand probably.
Yeah, I guess that's more of it. I mean, aside from my whole limping strategy I've been doing, you know, early in the tournament, you know. Is that really, you're like gonna push anybody off? And because when you have 9,000 in your stack
and you're making it what 150,
yeah,
or 200
so
to
I
go.
Guess that, you know, if you're raising, you're building a pot hoping to take it down and get some more money out of it. But I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't raise. I guess it depends how I feel. But today, I feel like calling.
You're just going to call. Very good. All right, that's what I would do, too. Our hero, though, is a little more aggressive and bumps it up to 200, a little 4x raise. The button calls. I guess the blinds get out of the way because it gets back to the limper, and the limper calls. So, three-handed going to the flop.
Not interesting yet. It's not interesting yet. The 4x raise is standard because we had one limper already, so you usually make it 4x then because you usually make it with 3x, but since you have a limper, you wouldn't make it 4x. So, it's pretty standard. Not very interesting yet. But let's move on.
All right. It's really early. I mean, we're only in the second paragraph of this email, so, all right.
Okay, well, how long is this email? Because our show's only can only be so
the
long.
Interesting stuff is coming, I'm sure.
I hope so.
All right, the flop comes 4 of diamonds, 5 of hearts, 8 of hearts.
Okay, we like that flop. We like it a lot.
We got an overpair. There's a, you know, I guess a 6-7 is possible on the button, but unlikely from the end of the gun.
It could be a set somewhere. But you can't always be afraid of the monsters.
Yeah, and I'm not really worried about the set here. I don't know why. I'm just not worried because the end of the gun, I can't imagine, has 4s, 5s, or 8s. And the button, you never know what they have. But
yeah, no.
The button normally would raise with a pair, pocket pair.
You would think that the button would raise with a bigger pair
particularly
than 9s.
If there's a pair out there, yes.
Yeah. So,
So the end of the gun checks, which is good to us. And we bet out how much because we are betting.
Okay, well, there's 600 in the pot and then blinds. So probably 675 in the pot. I would probably bet around 400 to 500.
Okay. Our hero bets 600.
Okay, so that's the pot. There's nothing wrong with that. Yep. There's nothing wrong with betting the pot.
In fact, actually, I want to get out of this because there are, I mean, there's no, you get the flush draw and you get straight draws, all kinds of stuff. I want to get out of this.
Yeah, I'd bet the pot.
All right, so you bet 600, but both players call, Chris. Are you interested yet?
Almost. I am almost interested in this hand.
Well, good, because now it gets very interesting, and that is capital letters.
He wrote that on there, very interesting?
Yes, okay. Very interesting, because you can't underline on
it. Well, it's a big pot now, too, because now you're looking at 1,800 in there, plus the 2, 4, 6, so you're looking at like 2,500 in the pot now. It's a big pot. And now you could go broke as early.
You know, I'm going to go, I don't normally do this is your job, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's probably like a naked ace for the end of the gun, maybe, over cards.
For the end of the gun, that's the same thing. I think like
the
suited ace.
And then the button's probably on a draw.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say.
I'm going to think maybe the end of the gun has like a suited ace of hearts, maybe.
Okay, yeah, that
although,
makes sense.
Although he might have checked raise there if he had that. So, and so somebody has ace-8.
Somebody has ace-8, all right.
I think somebody has ace-8.
I mean, we're playing in Reno here, not Deadwood.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah, that's Reno.
Yeah.
But still... you know, Wild Bill doesn't have to be playing in this hand. That would make this freaking interesting. If Wild Bill Hickok was in this hand, now that would be interesting.
All right, I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. The turn is a 9 of hearts.
Now that is a very interesting hand because now we have a set, but a flush draw got
top
there.
Top set, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But a flush draw got there now.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, somebody could still have the straight. But we like our hand more. It didn't hurt our hand. It just hurt. The other hands out there, it hurt us with the possibility of other hands out there. Very interesting.
All right, under the gun checks.
Oh, wow. well, even if I'm wrong, I still have 10 outs to the nuts. I don't know. I think I'd still bet. I'd probably bet 1,200.
1,200? Yeah, kind of like a somewhat smaller bet. I don't want it to be a weak bet, but I also don't want to commit a lot because if I get re-raised here, then I'll have to figure out where I'm at.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get away from this hand to a minimal re-raise, you know?
Yeah.
Like a 10 outs to
be a
flush.
What I'm saying, by betting small, and then maybe you're controlling the size of the raise that's going to come.
Of course, you could check, but then you're giving somebody with one heart a free card. You don't want to do that
either.
I don't
like that.
So what do you think, 1,200?
That sounds about right for me.
Okay.
Our hero wants to know where he's at, so he's firing 2,000 into the pot. The button gets out of the way, and the other gun just calls.
Just calls. So now it sounds like the guy's got the ace of hearts in his hand. You know? Or he's already got the nut flush. I don't know. I'm hoping we pair the board big time.
All right.
The good thing is that we have position. Of course, the bad thing is the guy's going to shove on the next card. You watch. I can feel it.
Would that make it very interesting?
Well, I already said it was very interesting now. The nine of hearts won me over.
The river is the 10 of hearts.
Yeah, see, now you've given this guy... well, you didn't give it to him. You ain't going to pay for it.
Yeah,
so.
He paid for it.
Yeah. Now I got to see what he does.
All right. The end of the gun shoves in immediately.
Yeah, I knew he was going to shove. How did I know
that?
You got to lay it down.
You're a quality player.
You have to lay it down. Yeah, and you got to weigh minimally. I mean, you still have probably, what, 7 grand?
Yeah, 226, 28. Yeah, oh yeah, you got plenty of play.
Yeah, so shove it. I mean, no, shove it. So lay it down. I would lay it down. I mean, it's tough, but what else could he be calling with all this way to not have one heart in his hand? And even if he didn't, he could still have it straight. Yeah. Or he could have a set of tens, which you know he doesn't, but... I'd lay it down. It's
now,
so early.
Let's put ourselves in the other gun seat, too, because I'm always interested about this. Because you had to bet on the river. I mean, I was playing the other night at Tampa Bay Downs, and I was betting all the way, and then the flush got in the river, and it checked around to me, and I just checked, and the guy next to me, ah!
Yeah, yeah.
I want to check raise you. Dude, I'm not an idiot.
I'm just sexist.
I'm like, you got to bet your own hand on the river. Yeah, that's right. Look, you got to bet your own hand on the river,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, this guy got the flush. He can't check, and that we're going to check. But the all-in is kind of an interesting bet because it makes you wonder whether he missed or something. And
yeah, but what could he miss? He didn't miss. What? There's nothing to miss here.
Well, I know, but I mean, all right. So let's say you had the ace of hearts and you want to get paid off. I mean, yeah. This is not the way to do it, right?
No, that's definitely not the way to do it. That's a good point if you want to rethink it yourself. But it's also, everyone knows that you're thinking that, so they make that bet to make you think, why is he shoving? Why is he betting so much? And then they call and they do trade the ace of hearts. So I'd rather just lay, you know, you lay this hand down, you have $7,000 left in a blind of 25-50.
No, I'm not talking about our hero here. I'm talking about the villain here.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
All right, so the villain had him slightly covered, he thinks. And our hero calls.
Oh. Even if it's the right call, that's tough. That's tough. I mean, even if it's the right call, why? You know? I mean, okay, so you doubled up and, you know, whatever. But I don't know if it's the right call, but I mean, it sounds like it could be the right call because of the guy's bet. But I wouldn't call there. I got no reason to call there. With a set of nines and there's four hearts on the board, I fold.
Hmm. All right. Well, I agree with you. But so the villain turns over.
You want to mess with the guess, or are you just trying to read it?
Sure, why not?
I'll put him on a heart. Any heart.
All right. Eight of diamonds.
Oh, no.
Ten of diamonds.
Oh, man. Two pair.
River, two pair.
Oh, man.
Our hero took down a huge pot. Huge. All caps.
Well, this hand's not interesting anymore. Very interesting. Interesting call there on the end. Again, I mean, I guess you... But how could you come up with 8-10? As the hand that you would call, because you can only beat a bluff there, really, and two pair. I mean,
yeah.
Two pairs is still. I think the guy's still bluffing with two pair. The 8-10, you know, he saw you check, thought that you know you were afraid of the heart, so he represented the heart and thought, how could you call?
Yep.
Two pair.
How could you call?
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, Jason went into a lot of his thought process, but I think it all makes sense now. And he said one more thing. He finished second for $1,200 in this tournament.
Sweet.
So he took that that big pot and did something good with it.
Send us some of that money. Because you'd be grateful that we didn't play the hand for you.
Very good. And not only do you win $1,200, Jason, from Reno, you also win something clean and crisp plucked from the swag shelf.
Here we go. I'm going to run the wheel now.
Did you spin the wheel well?
I spin it well enough.
Because the swag is the spinning card protector from dbdealer.com.
Awesome!
So now, Jason, you know, you can continue. You can spin your own wheel
now.
Yeah,
you can spin along with us every week.
Yeah.
And it'd come up, what would Phil do?
All right, Jason, send us your address to podcast@aniamagazine.com. You also know Johnny Cash's address. Send that to me as well, too. you know, he's probably not taking mail these days. And we'll get that spinning card protector out to you. And everybody else, send your email, email your hand of the week to podcast@aniamagazine.com.
One last time, I want to thank the world champion and heads-up champion, Huck Seed, for joining us today. Huckleberry Seed, thanks again for coming on the show.
Yep.
And
airing on NBC this month.
Yeah, April 12th, I think it is. That's what he said. So anyway, congratulations to him, and thanks for doing the show. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@anniupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@anniupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.